Well, Eli, first, we're breaking all kinds of religious barriers and perceptions today. Look at me. I'm wearing shorts today. And look at my legs. Nice. Very nice. 2 years ago, if you told me that I will be wearing shorts to church, I'd be like, you're crazy. And flip-flops. This is the first time I'm wearing thong flip-flops. But anyway, so God is changing us. God is molding us. He's making us understand that it's not about the clothes that we wear that brings us closer to Jesus. You know, for many years, since I was maybe 17 years old, I was wearing a suit. At about 28, 29, I started wearing jeans to church. And look at this. Church, we're making progress. Stop here, huh? What it proves, though, that clothes that we wear does not bring us closer to God. Or vice versa. However, since we are, this is an opportunity for me to instruct as a pastor. All right? However, as children of God, the clothes that we wear represents our attitude. Amen? There's clothes that we wear for everything. Girls, let me ask you a question. How many of you would marry at the altar wearing sweatpants and sweatshirt? Girls, how many of you would like your fiancé to come to the altar, barely woke up, his hair is messed up, you know, sleeping, you know, like this. He stinks a little because he didn't brush his teeth. He's wearing his boxers or lawn pajamas that are ripped off and dirty from pizza or from Chinese food. And he comes to the altar. You wouldn't like that, right? How many of you ever would go on for an executive position interview? Of executive position and would wear boxers or sweatpants. No, you wouldn't do that. Pushing it. See, there's time and season for everything. And although today we're wearing shorts, we're saying that we're free. We can do it. I can do it. So there's proper time for everything. And so when we come to the house of God, we need to come with respect. Nobody here would come to the altar in their pajamas. However, I have seen people come to church in ripped off pajamas. And not unless it's a pajama day. We can do that, people. We're free. We can do whatever we want, right? However, we come with respect to the presence of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to wear a suit. That doesn't mean you have to wear buy special clothing or whatever. You can come in the best that you have. Because we prepare ourselves to church from home. And I've seen people, I don't care what people think about me. I could care less. It's America. Yeah, I know. It's the careless spirit. It's sometimes it just gets you into this, I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm just going to be who I am and I'm going to do what I want. Just be careful that in your freedom, because Christ did set you free, there's no rebellion spirit. Because sometimes you can smell a rebellion spirit in your freedom. So we're free. But we're not, we don't have a rebellion spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. It feels good to be in shorts. All right. Well, today we're starting a new series. And the series are called Jesus and Prayer. For the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. And by the time we're done, you're going to know so much more about prayer. Now, those of you who have been here for more than 1 year, you probably heard about prayer in this church. Well, this is going to be encouragement and reminder for us all to have a great prayer life. All right? So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, why do you think people don't pray? Okay, no answer. Lazy. Don't believe that God will answer it. And this is what I wrote. The reason people don't pray is because some don't know how to. Okay? Other people don't pray because they don't know why they should pray. Why should I? What's this all about? Especially if you kind of been around Calvinist doctrine or doctrine of predestination, you'd be like, why should I pray? If God is going to do what He's going to do, that's a lot of us, right? God is still going to do what He wants to do. Why should I pray? Amen? Don't pray because they just kind of slid back and they just need encouragement to pray. Okay? Some don't pray because they don't find the time to. They're just so busy. They get up in the morning and they just get the kids, dress up. You're always late. I mean, there's no time for prayer. Others don't pray because they had prayed before and didn't receive an answer. I have prayed for the boyfriend, but God didn't answer me. So I'm going to stop praying. I just don't believe that stuff anymore. I have prayed for a girlfriend. I thought by 2010 I'll be married. Look at me. I'm not even dating anybody. God didn't answer. I thought by 2010 I'll own my own business. Or I'll go to school or something, but I have a problem with money. I thought by July 2010, I'll have all my debts paid off. Look at this. God must not hear me. A lot of people have different reasons why they don't pray. And I think a lot of it has to do because we don't really understand what prayer is and the power that it has. Let me tell you, guys and girls, young guys and girls, a story. When I was about 18, 19 years old, I really believed in prayer. And I was the type of guy who was a young Christian on fire. And I would go before the throne of God and be banging His doors. Be like, God, You have to do this. I had this girl in my church. All right. And some of you heard this story, but there's many new people. All right. There's a girl in this church, and I kind of liked her. And I'm like, God, is she the one? Is she not? You know? And I start praying, and then God didn't answer me. But things weren't working out. We just weren't a match. You know how sometimes you just feel that chemistry? I felt that she did it. Unless two people feel the chemistry, you got problems. Amen? Two people had to click, connect. So I'm praying, and God doesn't answer. And I'm like, praying harder. I'm praying for hours now. No, seriously. Every morning I get up and I'm like, God, come on. And one early morning, around 6 in the morning, I wake up because of a dream that I had. And in a dream, I seen a cloud open up and a light came down at me, and there was a voice. That's a dream. I thought it was a vision, because the voice said, she's not for you. I was religious, so God spoke to me in a religious way. God will speak to you how you are able to perceive Him or understand Him. Would you agree? And I woke up, and guess what I said? That's not God, that's the devil. Today, thank God, I married my beautiful, I waited a little longer, till 21 or so, and I married my beautiful wife, Tanya. She was always praying for a pastor. That's how I became a pastor. But marrying her, became a pastor, because God answered her prayer. Thank God He didn't answer mine. Because that person's life is so a mess today. That person is divorced already. That person is stubborn and rebellious and would never support, even if God did want it, to make me a pastor. That person was never going to support. Now, guys and girls, if, guys, listen to me, and because we are promoting guys here in the church, we want men to stand up and take position of leadership in the church. Not that we don't want women, we want women too, but man, that's I'm a man, you know, I want men around me. Okay, Jesus wanted 12 men. Yes, he had women. But listen to me, guys. If your wife is not supporting what you do, forget about it. Forget about it. You'll be ministering in church and at home, the devil will be ministering. I'm serious. You will be ministering in church and at home, the devil will be ministering to your family. And I'm so glad that God didn't answer that prayer. Some of you are praying, oh, Jesus, please. I want him. I want her. And God is saying, no, it's just not right. And you're persistent. There's a verse in the Bible that says this. They were persistent in their prayer, and God answered them and gave them with that disease. Sometimes God will answer your prayer if you're really persistent, but it's not going to be for your benefit. But because somehow he loved me and he loves you, he protected me from that other woman. And today I am married to the most unbelievable person ever. Yeah, I had to wait 2 more years. But listen, and some of you who married right, oh no, all of you who married right, you know what I'm talking about. Bible says, whoever found a good wife, found what? Good thing or grace of God. Found grace from God. Good wife could be a grace from God. Or a ministry of the devil in your home. I'm telling you, it's true. Married people, you know it. It's already hard. Just being married to the right person is hard. Because the devil, oh man. He likes to do his ministry. You have to kick out his ministry from your house. You know what I mean, ministry. No ministry of the devil in my home. No ministry of the devil in our couple's homes. Amen? So prayer is very important, but prayer is an interesting thing. Be careful that you let God decide. Now, some people say, why doesn't God answer? God always answers. It's either yes, no, or not right now. Listen, it's either yes, no, or not right now. And a lot of us, we don't like to hear no. And how do you know? God never comes, I've never had God after that come to me in a dream or a vision and say no. That was the one time. Usually you feel it. Somewhere lightly on the inside, he says, it's not right. It's not according to my will. It's not according to my word. That's him saying no. But God, don't you love me? Don't you want me to be happy? But God, don't you? I want it now, Lord. God says, just wait. You have me now. In the meantime, but I have something good for you. Just wait for it. Some of you, you prayed something and you know it's not God. Say, God, take it away. You prayed something that's not God, take it away, Lord. Hallelujah. Prayer is, what is prayer? You ready? What is prayer? Prayer is our direct line with heaven. Open Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Listen to me. Prayer is our direct line with heaven. Guys, how many of you know that in order for me to call somebody, in order for me to call my dad, he's probably in east side of Sioux Falls right now. I need to use a tool. What is that tool called? Cell phone. Okay? Prayer is a tool that reaches from the physical into spiritual. It's a line. It's a connection.
See, some of you think prayer is something holy and something, who knows what it is? It's simple. It's a tool. It's a cell phone. It's an invisible cell phone. Except you have to have a cell phone in your hand to make a call. Prayer, you just disconnect from here and connect there. As soon as you close your eyes, as soon as you bow your knees, as soon as you lay down and say, Lord, I come to you. As soon as you connect your thoughts with God, that's prayer already. That's a line. See, we in physical, we need tools like this phone in order to connect to one another. God is bigger than that. He, you know how you have Bluetooth? He put a Bluetooth in your mind and your spirit. And he connected it to himself. And so you don't have to. Someday, guys, just trust me, we're going to come up. Our technology is going to come up to the phone. It's going to be in our head. Somebody calls me, it'll be like beep, beep in my ear. Because it's going to be connected to your brain. You'll say, hello. And even if we go further with our technology, you will answer calls with your thoughts. Because you know in heaven, they speak without speaking. They could speak, but they could communicate on the mind level. Yeah. That's why God is able to not speak but communicate to us. And we call it speaking. How do you hear God? Does he say, hey, Julie, how you doing? No, he doesn't say that. He speaks to you how? Through your heart. So he takes his thoughts and he puts it in your thoughts. So that's why you don't need telephone or physical ears or physical hearing. He speaks deeper. Have you ever heard a voice of God? Help me out. Not physical. Every time you'll hear the voice of God, maybe one out of a million, it'll be physical. Or through a vision. Most of the time, God will bring his thoughts in connection with your thought, thinker, or spirit, or mind, or whatever. And that's how you hear God. But in order for you to hear him, you need to do what? Pray or slow down or meditate or whatever. Just connect. Disconnect and connect. God doesn't have to use a voice. And really, God does not have a voice except you and me. I don't know if you're getting this. God does not have a physical body here on earth except the body of Christ and our lips. But your lips don't decide to speak whatever they want to speak. Do they? Some of our tongues get out of hand. But most of us, we have control of our lips and our tongue. Our brain gives a thought. Our lips gives what? A sound. Thought is spiritual. Sound is physical equals what? A word. That's why a thought that's not spoken yet doesn't have power. But a thought that's been spoken or written or sang becomes alive. So a thought plus a sound or written equals word. And words create. Thank you. That's why you can't just think I'm blessed. You gotta say it. That's why you can't just say, devil, leave me alone in your mind. You gotta say it. Now there's moments when you can't say, when he's choking you. And then God will hear you still. But most of the time when Jesus commanded sicknesses, demons, he spoke it. Now prayer is us shutting our mouth sometimes. I mean, we talk, right, to God. But then we have to close it up and hear what he has to say. And he will speak. And it's not going to be words, it's going to be thoughts. That's the difference. A lot of people are expecting words. Have you ever noticed how prophets all speak in the name of God, but they all use their own interpretation or language? And some prophets say, God cannot speak like that. I know God speaks to me, and he speaks to me this way. He uses these words. Thus says the Lord. Another prophet says, God says, I want to just tell you what God says. And what a difference, right? Because God
speaks to you and me with thoughts. How does the devil speak to you? Thoughts. Do you think devil created that tool? No, he just uses the tool that's already available. And guess what he does? The interesting thing the devil does, he doesn't just give you one thought. What does he do? He bombards you with thoughts for hours. He says, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. Yeah, you're going to go crazy, you're going to go crazy, you're going to go crazy. You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. You're going to get sick, you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. And he speaks why? For how long? For hours. Do you know that he found out a tool of repetition? Because whatever you speak and repeat, learn from the devil. You can learn a lot from your enemy. Because he cannot create anything new. He's just perverting something. And that's why the Bible says, what should you think on? Think upon that what is good, what is pure, what is honorable. Think about it all the time. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. And whatever you think, whatever man thinks in his, so he is. Whatever you think in your mind, continue to repeat. Devil knows that if you start thinking good things, if you start thinking joy. Andre was doing something today and I wanted to come out and yell. You know what the Bible says? Stir yourself up in the house of the Lord. Stir yourself up to joy. See, a lot of us come, God, touch me. God, do something in me. I want to feel you in worship. And God says, stop that. Stir yourself up. If you were to stir yourself up, Andre, what would you do? Guys, if you want to feel the presence of God, the Bible says, in worship, stir yourself up. Do you know that you can, and I taught this Bible study called fake joy. That's what it means. It's stir yourself up to joy. First, it looks like fake. But then, joy is so contagious that when you start faking joy, you start laughing, you start having fun, guess what? You actually begin to feel it. Have you ever tried acting drunk? I do all the time because I don't drink, so I have to act drunk. How do you do that? You stir yourself up to be free, right? Help me out. It feels weird at first. You're like, I'm a hypocrite. I'm weird. But then when you practice in it, you really, people listen, you really start acting like drunk. The power of, what is that called? They did a study, they give somebody who thought there was a alcohol drink, but it wasn't, didn't have any alcohol, placebo effect. You know the placebo effect is faith, human faith in action. And that's what it is. You stir yourself up, and as you stir yourself up, the Holy Spirit catches you. It's like you start running, running, running. And then you start flying because Holy Spirit and His wind just picks you up. So let's get back to prayer. I'm giving you from the Spirit. God is speaking today, people. God is speaking. You gotta catch it. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. So prayer is not God speaking to you with words. He's speaking to you with thoughts. And then you use your own words and your own voice to interpret what he's saying. Let me get to the Bible. It says this. Now in the morning, this is after he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he healed many who were sick and demon-possessed, right? Now the next verse is, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him were searching for Jesus. And then when they found him, they said to him, everybody is looking for you, Jesus. But he said to them, let us go into next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Here comes demons again, but we're not going to touch that. Notice, Jesus had a great revival a night before.
Early in the morning, he gets up and he goes into a solitary place and he begins to pray. Notice solitary place. It's a place. What is your solitary place? Because for Jesus, it was different places. Sometimes he would go to the mountain. Sometimes if he was in a city, he would find a secluded place. And he would pray. Now, looking at the life of Jesus, he was a man of prayer. Not only solitary prayer, but also public prayer. But mostly his prayer happened in solitude. When he was alone by himself. Why? Because God speaks in thoughts, not in words. Listen to me. And so he had to be silent enough to hear. You know that for me, I love riding my car. How many of you like riding a car? Sometimes alone. Yeah. Just love going for a ride. I have my routes, peaceful routes where there's no cars. Sometimes I'm driving slow, you know, 55. Just so I don't have to worry about cops, you know, pulling me over or whatever. You know, just drive peacefully by the lake, you know. Stop by at Lake Alvin, you know, go to Kent and drive up there a little bit. That's my solitude place. I can talk to God for hours. I'm serious. I can talk to Him and have Him speak back to me. What is your solitude place? It could be whatever. What do you like? I mean, it doesn't have to be just go in your room, lock the door, secret closet place, and then pray. Because Bible says do that if that's your solitary place. If that's your place of being alone with God. Maybe it's a closet for you. I can't do closet. I can do, you know, yeah. Even in my closet I go. And I walk around. Not a closet, my office. But still. There's places that we like to be. Sometimes when we go and be with nature, we can feel the presence of God. Sometimes at the lake. Sometimes we go to Lake Alvin and I would be swimming on my back, you know, just going easy and praying. God will speak to you. He speaks to us in many different places. So what is prayer? Prayer is our direct line to heaven. You don't need a phone. So nobody here could say, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray. Yes, you can. It's already, the Bluetooth is in your brain or in your heart. And as soon as you activate it by saying, Lord, I come to you. Or whichever way you say it. Lord of, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, okay, I got it. You know, God of the apostles and Paul and Peter. And, you know, whatever. Whatever way you come to God, God automatically hears what you're saying. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about more Daniel's prayer. And man, people, it's going to be great. Today, we don't have time. Sheesh. because we got to go play kickball. Short Sunday. All right. Guys, are you getting anything of this? I mean, help me out. Or should we just pray now? We're getting there. Actually, we will, because here in New Life Church, we have four prayer teams that pray once a month, each Friday of the month. And today, we're going to have you sign up for one of them. It's only 1 hour between 9 and 10, and we have four groups, and some of you are still not in them. Okay, so we're going to have that opportunity for you. Now, listen to this. Prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk to God. It's a communication tool that allows us to talk to God. It's an act of communicating with God by petition, worship, apology, or thanksgiving. This is my definition of prayer. Prayer is a place where relationship with God happens. Prayer is a place where relationship with God happens. Jesus had a daily prayer life.
He had a great ministry going in Capernaum. Capernaum. And people were getting healed. And notice he went and spent time in prayer. And instead of, although he wanted to stay, and his disciples wanted Jesus to stay in Capernaum, he said, people are looking for you. There's a demand. And as a preacher, if there is a demand, I stay. If people want me, I'm going to be here. Jesus said, goes and prays to the Father. And guess what he says right after the prayer? Listen to this. Let us go into the next town. But Jesus, people want you here. There are so many more that needs to be healed. Many more coming from around communities. Wait. Jesus said, no. After spending time in prayer, he let the good thing go. The reason we're out of the will of God sometimes, or not 100% in the will of God, because when a good thing is happening and God says, move on, some of your jobs are a good thing, but God says, move on. Hold on. No, I'm serious. You got a good thing going and you don't want to quit. That's not you. Okay. How many of you know what I'm saying? Jesse, you with me? Some of you want to quit your job, but God says no. And what you need to do is you need to come into His presence and slow down, and He'll say, you're in the right place. Open your eyes. I got some for you here. Oh, for years I complained. God, I hate my job. I want to be in ministry. And then I kind of started working here part-time, and I didn't like it. It was so sitting there in the basement the whole day. It was so boring. I was like, I need action. I need to be outside. I need to see people. I need to solve problems. I need to yell at somebody and my employees. Some of them. Andre never gets yelled at. No. And then I'm like, Lord, thank you for not answering my prayer. Because I, although it's hard to do two things, but I'm just so glad that I'm able to have my job. And 2 years ago, I would be like, I hate my job. I want to quit. Oh, I just want to be in ministry. And I'm like, this is good. I love it. So Jesus had a daily prayer life. And as he was in solitude and prayer, God spoke to him and said, Jesus, they love you here, but there are so many more people you need to hear. And I hear the Lord says, and I didn't plan this, hear the Lord says, they love you here, but you got to move on. There's more people we have to reach. LaVar, you're right. We enjoy this place, but we got to move on. There's more people out there who God wants to reach. I hope you take serious what he said today. Because God is raising up evangelists in the house. And there's anointing that comes with it. So when you hear it, it falls upon you. And when it falls upon you, it makes it easier. It breaks the yokes. Lifts burdens. Evangelist in training. Oh, I love our church. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we have an amazing group of people. Too free. Well, if the sun. Last point. Prayer is a place of downloading. How many of you ever tried to download something on your computer? If you have a slow connection, what happens? Takes a while. Yeah. If you have a faster connection, prayer is a place of downloading. You know that God doesn't reveal His complete will to us 100%? God never will tell you completely His will for your life. He'll give you bits and pieces so you can trust Him more. Because once you know the whole picture, yeah. So you don't need God anymore, you know. But He'll give you, and what He will do is, every time you come in prayer, He'll download. Is that in Matrix? They had to connect and they had to get downloaded the information. That's how. See, these un-Christians are already understanding the spiritual process. Every morning, Jesus would go and download the plan of God, the will of God. And that's why he was 100% in the will of God. He was in the right place in the right time. If you're in the wrong place in the wrong time, guess what? You're not in the 100% will of God. You're probably out of the will of God. And that's why it says, and he had to walk this way, and he met the lepers. And he had to walk this way, and he met the woman at the well, Samaritan woman at the well. Perfect timing. People of God, that's what prayer will do. If we only disconnect our mind from the problems of this world and just go into that prayer mode, turn on the cell phone, the Bluetooth of prayer, and connect to God, he will speak to you in thoughts. He will download his will. He will tell you where you are out of line and where you need to get back into the will of God. He'll tell you all these things. And as a church, listen to me, the last thing, we have to download the will of God for our church. That's why we have Friday night prayers. We have to surround, because prayer doesn't just download. There's a lot of functions of prayer that you're going to learn about. There's protection prayer. There's prayer that breaks things, that pulls down strongholds and builds new foundations. There's different types of prayer. We need to be a part of prayer. This church, if we're to move in front lines in the Spirit of God, if we're to see demon-possessed people being set free, if we're to see sicknesses and diseases be healed, we need to walk and have great prayer life. And for young people, God said to say to you this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You need to pray that daily. Young people, when you wake up, say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I have to say it, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. There's so much. Some of us, we never pray the Lord's Prayer anymore, but it's so important. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Deliver me from getting another credit card. Deliver me from buying something I can't afford. Deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. Hallelujah. Deliver me from evil. Please stand to your feet. In prayer, your purpose in life will be confirmed. Some of you, you're like, I don't know what to do in life. And it's so clear. You're already doing it or you're in the way doing it. But you need it confirmed by God. Listen to me. This is what Jesus said. He said to them, let us go into next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So listen, in prayer God says, this is for this purpose you have come forth, is to preach the gospel to all the cities. So did Jesus need God to remind him? Yeah, he was a human being. Do we need God to tell us our that we're in his purpose? Yeah, I need it. Once in a while, I just need God to tell me, you're my son and I'm well pleased in you and you're doing the right thing. Keep preaching. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. Keep singing. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. Keep doing your business. Keep, you know, getting education. God will reconfirm. God will witness to your heart that you are in his will.